And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today we're focused, our last week, on our emphasis on being stronger in God. Find your strength in God. I hope you've enjoyed the series as much as I've enjoyed studying and just preparing my own heart for this. Because certainly, day in and day out, we need God's strength. Perhaps even during this last, I think, about 10 weeks, you've encountered some challenges that you've been up against. And perhaps some of the messages, some of the scripture verses that we focused on have been encouragement to you. That it's come back to mind, going, yes, I've got the strength of the Lord to overcome this challenge that I'm having. Well, I want you to imagine for a moment, for this last one, I want you to imagine that there are a couple of prisoners sitting in jail. Both of them were revolutionaries. They're older in their years, and they're kind of revolutionaries of their time period, though they had their own specific causes of why they were arrested and put into prison. And they're sitting in a cold, damp, dark place. The food is scarce. The stench is loud. It smells really bad. There's no running water. There's no electrical lighting. One particular prisoner is chained to one of the guards. You know, it was a very bleak circumstance that these individuals were in. And one was complaining, this is the worst I could ever have imagined it. Life's not worth living anymore. I can't go on any further. But there's a prisoner in the cell right next to him that says, you know, I've got some friends on the outside. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Of course, the first prisoner is probably looking at him going, are you crazy? Have you gone out of your mind? Are you now a lunatic? Have you lost all comprehension of your surroundings? But that prisoner says, oh, no, I've got all the hope in the world. Actually, I've been writing a letter to my friends. My friends have sent news to me about what's going on in their community, and they've actually sent me some money in order to provide some needed resources, but I want to actually encourage them. Would you like to hear what I'm writing to them? Of course, the cell mate next door says, absolutely not. I don't want to hear anything you have to say. But that didn't prohibit this prisoner from reading a few words. He says, here's the first page that I've got. He says, just listen to a little bit of this. He says, this is what I'm going to tell my friends. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest of the imprisonment that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment and much more bold to speak the word without fear. I also wrote to my friends, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Oh, I really like that part. What do you think about that? Another prisoner would probably look at him and say, you're a fool. He says, but I think they might be encouraged, but I've got another page. I've gone on. And so this is what I'm going to say to them. I'm going to tell them that have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As I'm sitting in this cold, damp prison and I'm chained, this is what gives me hope. This is why I can smile and sing while I'm in prison. His neighbor wasn't impressed, I'm sure. He says, but I wanted to say something else to to those I'm sending a letter to. Here's just a portion of it. I want you to hear it. He says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you." There is so much more for us that we're being called up to. This is why I can endure the imprisonment. This is what will give hope to those that I'm writing to. But my favorite page is the last one, where I tell my friends, and I hope for generations to come, that they'll benefit from this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at length, you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. And certainly he was experiencing something very tragic. But in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I concluded my letter to my friends this way. I said, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except only you. Even in Thessalonica, you sent some help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." I'm certain if there was a prisoner next to the Apostle Paul as he was writing this and perhaps reading this aloud, I'm certain that either he completely embraced the God that Paul was preaching, or he completely rejected him, thinking he was outside his mind. The reason I'm convinced of that is because that same truth lives in our hearts today. As we share why we can go through circumstances that can be extremely difficult, yet still have hope in God, people either say, "You have something that I need," or they'll say, "You're absolutely outside your mind." And with that, can we be content to just let God do his work as we proclaim that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I want to encourage you to turn to the book of Philippians. Kind of walk through chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, turn in the red Bible in the pew rack in front of you, and you can turn to page 980. The focal verse that connects to our theme is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How can you say that? As Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, who were an encouragement to him, he was more concerned about their hearts than his own conditions and circumstances. I looked up this verse in various translations, and I thought I would read some of these because they have some different emphasis or different angles to it. We're reading out of the English Standard Version today, but in the New Living Translation, it says this, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." In the Good News Translation, it says, "I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." In J.B. Phillips' paraphrase, a translation written many years ago, it says, "I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives in me." The Living Bible, one of the first Bibles that was given to me as a younger person. It's just a paraphrase by Ken Taylor so that his grandchildren could read the Bible when all they had was the King James. And so it's not a direct translation, but it is from a grandfather's heart to his own grandchildren, so they may understand this verse. He wrote this, "For I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and power." Oh, how we need that kind of word today. Because sometimes there are circumstances beyond our control, beyond our strength, beyond our wisdom. But whatever comes into our lives, which Paul was certainly in a dire situation, his focus was not on the winds and the waves and the circumstances around him. His focus was on the hope that Christ is enough in whatever circumstance I find myself in. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I want us to focus on just three words in the context of chapter 4. Just three words. We'll hit on them briefly, and then we'll just consider how that might apply to our lives. But I want you to look down in verse 13 once again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and it's one of the smallest words in this verse. It says, "I can do all." Do you see it? All. Though so small, it is a powerful word. All. I can do all things. Do you appreciate the word all when it's referenced in Scripture? I want you to consider some of the different ways that the word all has been used in the Scripture. Certainly not an exhaustive list, but I want you to consider these words. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. "Cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you." Do you know that he can carry it all? That everything that you feel like you're dragging along, that's the weight on your shoulders, he says you can cast them all on him. And the reason he's willing to receive it all is because he cares for all of you. Perhaps you appreciate the verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says, "And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." He does not say in that particular verse that all things are good, but he says all things can work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You think of some of the things in your life, you know, some of the good things what you would label good, some of the difficult things you'd say, "I don't like this. It's not good in my estimation." But you know, when you love God, all these things are part of the mosaic of your life that God is working out for good, for your purpose that he's called you to. Let me share from a few verses in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 30. "But even the hairs on your head are all numbered." For some of you, that's pretty simple. I can do that myself. All three of them up there. Hold on to them as long as you can. You know, my grandfather had his hair to the point that he died. And he would say, "Chris, your hair will either turn white or it'll turn loose." pray that it just stays on and turns white. And I think that was a curse upon me early on because I started getting this at 16 years old. But God knows every hair on your head. You know, that's like the stars in the sky we looked at in Isaiah a few weeks ago, that he knows the name of every star in every galaxy. He knows every number on your head of hairs. All of them. Doesn't leave one out. I consider the time when the parable of the lost sheep, that there was 100 sheep. How would a shepherd know he has 100 sheep? Because he knows his numbers. And he cared about the one that had wandered off. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How many can come to him? All of them. That word, all, so short, only two letters, A and an L, and you throw an extra L at the end. That is so powerful. All people who are heavy laden can find rest in Christ. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, some of these you ought to put to memory, by the way. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and," do you know what? "All things will be added to you." All. God must love this word all. I wonder if we've embraced what it means to have all the promises of God. Let me flip back to the Old Testament to conclude in this all. In Psalm 23, and I know most of you have memorized that and have heard that for years, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Oh, how precious is that word. All the days. There's not one day that you're living that God is not present, that God does not care. He is not absent. He's not on vacation. He never calls in sick. He's never just off being distracted. "That surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord." How long? Forever. All days. So when I see a verse like this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." It has incredible significance to my life, that I can do all things through God who strengthens me. But like any verse that we read, we need to understand its context. What is Paul really saying when he says all things? Some will take this verse out of its context and proclaim things that God never intended for this verse to say. Does he mean all when he says all? Yes, in its context, Paul is saying, I can do all things that God provides and puts in my life, all circumstances, situations, and all. Paul is not saying, I can split the Red Sea like Moses if I just raise my staff. God didn't call Paul to that. He doesn't say, I, like Peter, can walk on water. Paul never walked on water. He's not proclaiming he could walk on water. Now, if Christ wanted him to walk on water, he could do that. But that wasn't his calling. Paul's not saying, you know, when I get out of this prison, I'm going to get on a chariot and I'm going to go straight to heaven like Elijah. Paul's not saying that's what he's going to be doing. He's not going to say, you know what, one day I'm going to rise like Jesus up to the heavens. I'm not going to experience a physical death. If that was Christ calling for him, certainly. But that's not the evidence of the New Testament for Paul's life. Even when Paul prayed to Jesus to remove some pains in his life, God's answer to him was that my grace is sufficient for you. So Paul can do all things. We can't take that and then just proclaim, I'm going to jump off a building that's 50 feet high, or 50 stories high, I should say. 50 feet, you might survive. 50 stories, you probably won't. I can't just say, well, I can do anything I want to do in any time, and God has to make it true in my life. No, God never says that to us. When he says, I can do all things through Christ, he has a specific context he's talking about here. Look at verse 12 to understand.